When we come to Mark chapter 8 and to the next miracle that the Savior performed, as we've already said, the gospel writers didn't get mixed up. How could they get mixed up whenever they recorded the feeding of the 5,000? You see, we've read from Mark and we could have read from Matthew. Both writers record the feeding of the 4,000, but it's interesting to notice both writers also record the feeding of the 5,000. So I don't think they got mixed up. So these are definitely two separate miracles. And we're coming tonight to the feeding of the 4,000. Let's look to the Lord, please, in prayer. Our Father, the words that we have just sung are the prayer of our heart. Revive thy work, O Lord, exalt thy precious name. And by the Holy Ghost, our love for thee and thine inflame. Revive thy work, O Lord, give Pentecostal showers, be thine the glory, thine alone, the blessing, Lord, be ours. O Lord, we pray that in this service, that the glory would be thine, and that, Lord, the blessing might be ours. We deserve nothing but judgment. We deserve nothing but thy wrath. But Lord, for thy great mercy's sake, for the sake of the Lord Jesus, oh, be pleased to bless us and to speak to us tonight. And Lord, with the prophet of old, we would simply say, in wrath, remember mercy. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, if you can remember back to 2011, the wedding of Prince William to Catherine Middleton. Wonder, do you know how many guests were at the wedding? Have you any idea? 2,000. Or 2,000 at that wedding. That's a lot of guests at a wedding. But here tonight, in Mark chapter 8, we've got a great banquet. And there's not 2,000 guests here. There's double that. There's 4,000. 4,000. And you see, here we have a banquet. The Lord Jesus Christ providing a banquet for those 4,000 people in the wilderness. In the book of Song of Solomon, we read these words. He brought me to the banqueting house, and his banner over me was love. He brought me to the banqueting house, and his banner over me was love. Well, I believe that the Lord Jesus brought these 4,000 people to the wilderness, to his banqueting house, as it were, and his banner over them was love. We're told in verse 2 of Mark chapter 8, the Savior said, I have compassion on the multitude. There's his love. There's the banner of love at the banqueting house. Now, the word compassion, it's a very interesting word. It means to enter into the pain of another person. Or to put it as simply as we possibly can, to feel the pain of another person. That's literally what the word compassion means. And here we have the Lord Jesus, and he feels the pain, as it were, of these people, this multitude, in the desert. Now, keep in mind that it's a banquet. I want you to keep that image, that idea in your head tonight. Here's a great meal that the Savior has provided for these people. Think first of all about the guests at this meal. The guests. You see, we're told that these people, they were hungry people. These guests were hungry. Sure, when you go to a wedding reception and you sit down after hours of photographs and you think that the meal's never going to start, and then they get up and they start the speeches before the meal and your tummy's rumbling. You're hungry. Well, here we have these people, they were hungry. But it was spiritual hunger first. Yes, they were physically hungry, but they were spiritually hungry. You see, it tells us there that they had been with Jesus for 3 days. Verse 2, they have now been with me 3 days and have nothing to eat. Imagine a sermon that lasted 3 days. Now, in Ulster, World War III would break out if you had a sermon that lasted 3 hours. But here's 3 days. Can you see the hunger, the spiritual hunger that the people have for the Word of God? There's no entertainment mentioned here. The Lord Jesus isn't like a magician performing magic tricks in front of the people to keep their attention and their interest for the 3 days. No, he's simply teaching them. He's preaching the Word of God to these guests. My, what hunger. You know, it's always a sign that the Lord is reviving his church whenever there's hunger. There's spiritual hunger. And you know, the people aren't too worried about the clock. And they're not too worried about their watch. And you don't hear any beeps going off after the hour. No, there's hunger for the Word of God. Job chapter 23, I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. And that was the case with these people, these 4,000 people. As far as they were concerned, the words of his mouth, the words of the Savior's mouth, they were more important to them than their necessary food. Here were a people who had gone without food for 3 days. You know, people today in Ulster sure will hardly go an hour without food. But 3 days. But then, of course, we remember in the book of Exodus that Moses went without food for 40 days and 40 nights in the mount with the Lord. You see, when you're in the presence of the Lord, when you're having fellowship with the Savior, bodily food kind of gets forgotten. Because you've got a far more wonderful kind of food. It's good to have a good appetite. It's a sign of health. You know, whenever we don't feel so well and the appetite's not so great and there's a big steak set down in front of you and you have to say, oh, I'm not really fit for it. I don't think I'll eat it. I'll just maybe eat it later. If that carries on and for a day or two your appetite's not right, then you'll maybe think about going to the doctor. There's something wrong. The appetite's not good. It's not just what it should be. I wonder what your appetite's like tonight. I'm not talking about the appetite for the steak. I'm talking about the appetite for this book. Are you hungry for it? See, the problem with some believers in Ulster tonight is that they're not hungry. They don't have any desire for the Bible, or very little desire. You know one of the reasons? Because they're full up. You know when a child eats sweets and crisps, and I can vouch for it. I can assure you that children love sweets and crisps. And they would eat sweets and crisps till the cows come home. But you know when the child eats all those things, then the dinner's set down in front of them. And they poke around and maybe take a wee spoonful or two, but then they just leave it. I'm full up. What's the problem? They've been eating too much garbage. Feeding on the garbage. And you know, that's the tragedy in Ulster tonight, that there's a lot of God's people across the land and a lot of Christians in the Western world. And as far as Monday to Saturday goes, it's feeding on garbage. And then, you know, they come on Sunday and there's no hunger, no appetite for the scriptures. They're full up. When's the preacher going to finish? Oh, has he not finished yet? They get up and they walk out. At 29 minutes past 12, we're at 7:59. Have to go. It's good to have an appetite for the Word of God. These people, they were hungry. But they were heathen. You see, these people were heathen people. In other words, they were Gentiles. Gentiles. The feeding of the 5,000 was to Jews. It was the nation of Israel. It was Jewish people that the Lord fed, that the Lord performed the miracle for. But you see, in this particular miracle, the feeding of the 4,000, it's Gentile people. You see, the Lord is in an area that's called Decapolis. Decapolis. The word Decapolis just means 10 cities. And you've probably heard of the Golan Heights in Israel. The Golan Heights. Well, that's the area that the Lord was in here. And he's ministering to Gentiles. You see, the message went first of all to the Jewish people, but now it comes to the Gentiles. Isn't that the gospel? What does Romans chapter 1 verse 16 say? For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. What does it say? To the Jew first and also to the Greek. The Gentile. The gospel is for the Jews. Praise God. But the gospel is also for the Gentiles. Aren't you glad about that? Didn't you breathe a huge sigh of relief when I said that? Because you're a Gentile. We're all Gentiles tonight. And you see, the Lord Jesus Christ had compassion on these Gentiles, these heathen people, we could call them. Now, these people would have been despised by the Jews. The Jews had no time for the Gentiles. They looked on the Gentiles as kind of animals, dogs, pigs, unworthy of the Word of God. But that wasn't the attitude that the Lord Jesus took, the greatest Jew that ever lived. My, he had a different attitude. And he had compassion for these people. And he preached to them for 3 days. See, that's the greatest expression of love. Did you know that? To share the Word of God with people. That's what Jesus does. The guests, but we need to move on. See, whenever you've got a great banquet, whether it's at a wedding or some other function, you've got the catering. You need to think about the catering. And you see, there's a problem here when it comes to the catering. It's not nice whenever you've got a great function and there's a lot of people have come a distance to be there and they've dressed up to come, and then you've got a problem with the catering arrangements. You notice first of all here that there was no food. There was no food. I have compassion on the multitude because they have now been with me 3 days and have nothing to eat. And if I send them away fasting to their own houses, they will faint by the way, for divers of them came from far. Then you have the question from the disciples, verse 4, from whence can a man satisfy these men with bread here in the wilderness? There was no food. No food. This was a dilemma. Wonder, are you in a dilemma tonight? Wonder, child of God, have you got a problem tonight? Have you got a battle? Have you got a struggle? And as far as your situation goes, there's no food. It's just empty. You're running on empty tonight, we could say. Well, I want to tell you tonight that the Lord Jesus is still the God of miracles. And he can come to your situation, whatever it is, whether you're discouraged, you're weary, you're cast down, you're worried, you're anxious. Whatever the situation is, you're afraid of some situation. You feel weak, you feel inadequate. You don't feel competent to do something for the Lord. You don't feel that you're capable. I want to tell you tonight that you can look to the God of miracles. There was no food, but then there was no faith. No faith. You see, we read there the disciples' question, verse 4, but then Jesus says in verse 5, and he asked them, "How many loaves have ye?" And they said, "Seven." And he commanded the people to sit down on the ground. The disciples, they asked the question, from whence can a man satisfy these men with bread here in the wilderness? Lord, how on earth are we going to get food for these people? Can you believe it? They've just seen the feeding of the 5,000. But now there's no faith. And it's just a short time since the Lord performed that mighty miracle, the feeding of those 5,000 people. And surely you would have said, well, that will put to bed, that will put to rest any doubts that the disciples now have. But no, just a short time later, there's no faith. No faith. But then we can't criticize them. We can't throw stones. Are we not guilty of the same? We see the Lord's answers to prayer, but yet whenever a problem arises, oh, we panic and we worry and how are we going to get through this? And we're down in the dumps. You'd think we weren't saved. You'd think we didn't know Christ. You'd think we didn't know the God of miracles. These disciples had no faith. All Jesus asks for is faith like a grain of mustard seed. He doesn't ask for great faith. He doesn't ask for special faith. You know, these charismatics today, they say, oh, if God didn't answer your prayer, the problem lies with your faith. Your faith, you don't have enough faith. You ever hear a preacher say that? You haven't enough faith. You're to blame. It's your fault. That's not the teaching of the Bible. That's not what Jesus says. He just wants a little faith. He just wants the grain of mustard seed. But we would just commit our situation to the Lord tonight and say, Lord, I am afraid. I'm worried. I'm anxious. This is an impossible situation for me. I don't know how we're going to get through it, and we don't know how we're going to get over it. But Lord, you're the God of miracles, and I leave it with you. And I'm just going to trust you, and I know that you're able to resolve the situation. And then we notice not only the guests, the catering, but you'll notice, if I can put it like this, the chef. Because at a function, of course, you need the chef. The person who's going to prepare and provide the food. And I say that reverently tonight. I say this reverently tonight. In this situation, the Lord Jesus Christ was the great chef. The one who would prepare the food and provide the food by a miracle. Jesus was the host at this banquet. You see, we're told there in verse 6 that he took the 7 loaves and gave thanks and break. Then verse 7, they had a few small fishes and he blessed. The Lord Jesus took the very meager resources that the disciples had. 7 loaves, wee tiny barley loaves. And a few fishes, just a couple of fish, and there's 4,000 people, and there's the women and the children on top of that. Seems so small. Seems so insignificant. Now, did Jesus say, what are you bringing me so little for? 7 loaves? Away of that. So what can I do with 7 loaves? For what can I do with 2 fish? Go and bring me something respectable. That's not what he said. You've often heard me say that the Lord Jesus loves to take the little things and use them. Small things. That's a lovely study in the Bible. Small things that God used. And you know, God loves to use small churches, little churches. Congregations maybe not that big. It's just the 7 loaves and the few fish. But thank God for them scattered around Ulster tonight. The 7 loaves and the few fish. They're here and there, and they're holding the fort, and they're taking their stand for Christ. And the devil would love to destroy the work, and they'd love to swallow it up and just close the doors. But praise God, the doors are still open. And Jesus has the 7 loaves and the few little fishes. And here's, this is one of my favorite, this is my favorite part of the miracle. They were in his hands. By the 7 loaves and the few fish, he took them. Those hands that would soon be nailed to the cross. Those hands that flung the stars into space. That hung the earth upon nothing. Those same hands performed the great miracle. If you're discouraged tonight, remember you're in the hands of Christ. Those of you who are saved, you're in his hands. That's the best place to be. What did the hymn writer say? Safe am I. Safe am I. In the shelter of his hand. We're safe in his hands tonight. Yes, the billows roll, the storms come. But we're in the hands of Jesus. My, what a wonderful place to be. Yes, there was the great chef, if you like, the host. Psalm 145, thou openest thine hand and satisfiest the desire of every living thing. What a host he was. That from his hand, 7 little tiny loaves and just a couple of little fish. I'm sure he could have held them quite easily in his 2 hands. But imagine from that he fed thousands. Thousands upon thousands of hungry people who hadn't eaten for 3 days. And then it tells us that there were 7 baskets left over at the end. We're not talking now about wee tiny baskets. The feeding of the 5,000, there was 12 baskets, but they were, you know, wee picnic baskets. But here, in the feeding of the 4,000, you know what it is? It's a basket that's big enough for a man to sit down in. Remember that Paul escaped from Damascus down over the wall in a basket? It's the same kind of basket that they're talking about here in Mark chapter 8. 7 of these great hampers, you could say. 7 hampers left over at the end. What about the waiters? You see, if you have a function, you have a wedding, you need the waiters, the waitresses to serve the food. The disciples, even though they had no faith, yet Jesus, he overlooked that and he said, I've got work for you to do. We read there in verse 6, he gave thanks, he gave to the disciples. There's the waiters to set before them, and they did set them before the people. And then verse 7, he commanded to set them also before them. You know, Jesus didn't go round himself with the food to the people. He had his helpers, his servants, the disciples, the waiters. Yeah, they came for the food, as it were. And they received from him, and then they passed it on to the other people. You know, that's what we have to do. Those of us who are here tonight, we've got to take in, and then we've got to give out. Tonight in this service, We've got to take in the Word of God, receive the Word of God for ourselves, feed upon the Word of God, but don't leave it there. We've got to go out, and on Monday morning and until Saturday night, give it out. Give it out to others. Don't hoard it to ourselves. We've got to do what the disciples did. We've got to receive from the Master. Aren't you glad you're here tonight? I, you know, the devil whispers to people, oh, sure, what's the point coming to the evening service? Sure, once is enough on a Sunday. The morning service is enough. No, no. We come here on a Sunday evening to receive from the Master. You know why? You know why we come to feed on a Sunday evening at 7 o'clock? We come here so that we can then go out and feed the multitude and give them the bread and the fishes. You've taken in tonight. It's good that you've been here tonight. Don't let the old devil, don't let Satan tell you, don't let him fill you with his lies that you don't need to come to the house of God on a Sunday evening. Sure, the more often the better. We need his grace and we need his word to be prepared for the week to come. And I know that today and today's generation and today's world, there's not too many sinners, not too many lost souls that are coming in through the doors of the churches. Well, we've got to face facts. We don't like the way it is. We would love if the pews were filled with seeking souls without Christ, but that's not the way it is. For the present time, we've got to go out to them. You are the waiters. You are the waiters. You are the waiters. I am the waiter. The food needs to be served. Sound the gospel of grace abroad. There's life in the risen Lord. Spread the news of the gift of God. There's life in the risen Lord. God above desires it. Sinful man requires it. Tell it around. Let it abound. There's life in the risen Lord. Hymn number 549.